From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
It's good to have you with us today as we turn once again to Colossians chapter 1 and let the Bible speak from verses 4 and 5 as we continue our study of basic Christianity. This is Alan Cairn saying hello to you. Welcome to the program. I trust that the Lord has been blessing these initial studies in Colossians 1 to your heart and that you'll want to join us day by day at this time as we look together into the Word of God. I hope also that the Lord is blessing our daily devotional Bible studies to you, and that each day the Lord is bringing a thought to your heart, something to direct you Christward, something to give you encouragement, direction, challenge, or whatever from the Word of God. Today our daily devotional Bible study is taken from Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. The title is Accepted in the Beloved. Paul says, He hath made us accepted in the Beloved. Paul knew what it was to be rejected by men. Even in Ephesus, after a very fruitful ministry, the townspeople wanted to be rid of him. Yet Paul could face man's rejection, knowing that the God who created him now also accepted him. To a world in which multitudes are laboring to obtain a favorable position before God, Paul boldly declares that he is accepted. The word accepted has the idea of one whom God has highly favored. You'll find it, for example, in Luke chapter 1, verse 28. Indeed, the word comes from the same Greek root as the word for grace. Our acceptance is not based on our merit, but is freely bestowed by God in grace. What a range of spiritual and emotional problems this glorious truth deals with. While the world's psychologists vainly seek to bolster the ego of fallen man with talk of self-worth and self-esteem, the gospel points us to God's acceptance of us in Christ. If we have His favor, why should we ever fear the wrath or hatred of either men or devils? Notice that it is God Himself who makes us accepted. There's no room for human error, for our Father who is perfect guarantees our standing. Thus, we have assurance that the work is complete. Our acceptance is not something we're still longing for and waiting for. He hath made us accepted. Let us then by faith rejoice that the work has already been completed. The question is, how could a holy God ever accept a vile, wretched sinner? The answer is found in Him who is called the Beloved. We are united to the One whom God loved before the foundation of the world, and whom He called My Beloved Son. The Beloved Son has atoned for all our sins. He has provided for us His perfect righteousness. Yea, we are now, as Colossians 2 verse 10 tells us, complete in Him. Keeping this great truth of acceptance before us, we, like Paul, can face a hostile world with confidence. Matthew Poole, the English Puritan commentator, gives our thought for the day. We are hateful in ourselves as sinners, but accepted in Christ as sons.
For countless worlds is new and high, that tune their songs to Jesus' name. All merit of their own delight, and Jesus' worth alone proclaim. Curb on the ground,
If you're a regular listener to Let the Bible Speak, you will no doubt have heard me mention the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel. Let me tell you a little more about it, and perhaps you'll decide you would like to receive a free copy. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church here in North America, and this booklet aims to tell you what you need to know about our church. In a time when mainline Presbyterianism has become increasingly apostate, some people are surprised to find Presbyterians who still believe the Bible and stand for it without apology or compromise. Free Presbyterians are not the only Presbyterians who do this. There are other faithful men and churches, and we thank the Lord for them. However, they are increasingly difficult to find. And we want to kneel our colors to the mast. We believe the Bible and seek to be faithful to it in every area. The booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, sets forth a very brief historical sketch of how the Free Presbyterian Church came into being and what its doctrines and practices are. We know that in an age when there are so many charlatans and compromisers of Scripture around, people are justly wary of anything with which they are not familiar. We hope this booklet will help you to get to know us a little better. We'd be happy to send it to you free of charge if you write or call and request it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is LTBS@freepres.org. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-866-877-LTBS, 1-866-877-5827. So if you'd like to have the booklet Separated Unto the Gospel, make sure you write or call. We look forward to hearing from you. Continuing to study Colossians chapter 1 verses 4 and 5 on the subject of basic Christianity, we restart today with faith in Christ Jesus as the foundational grace, noting again particularly that this faith is marked by soundness of belief. some people say that there are things you don't need to believe to be saved, even though the Bible teaches them as being of great importance. So let's open the Bible, set aside the opinions of men, and see what God says about basic Christianity.
There's a lot of people being accepted as Christians today that I don't believe biblically have the right to be accepted as Christians. There are even people who call themselves evangelicals, and they are taking it upon themselves to say you don't need to believe this and you don't need to believe that. You either believe the Bible or you don't. It's as simple as that. The interim senior pastor, First Presbyterian Church in Greenville. And this learned cleric told us, I actually happen to believe the virgin birth. He made it sound like it was a compliment to God that he believed it. But it doesn't really matter whether you believe it or not. After all, there are only two gospels that tell about the virgin birth. Well, Mark doesn't tell us about any birth. So why is that introduced? It's not mentioned anywhere else in the New Testament. I wonder what on earth Hebrews 10 means then when it says, a body thou hast prepared me. I wonder what it means then when Paul says to the Galatians, he was made of a woman, made under the law. As if there were something miraculous in that. This cleric said, the church, now we come to Presbyterian popery. The church, in its wisdom, has never said that you must believe in the virgin birth to be a Christian. Whoever gave the church the right to say anything about what you had to believe to be a Christian? It's not the church. It's the Bible. Let me tell you. Of course, he's not the only one. Some years ago, Billy Graham made exactly the same kind of statement. He believed in the virgin birth, but it doesn't really matter. If you don't believe it, you can still be a Christian. So Jesus Christ can be a bastard son. That's the real implication. He was either virgin born or a bastard son, according to which, by Old Testament law, he had no right even to enter in to the temple of God. Doesn't matter. What are we talking about? There are things that matter. And if one verse in the Bible clearly states a truth, I don't believe there's any fundamental of the faith that is dependent on one verse in the Bible. But if even one verse in the Bible makes a statement clearly and plainly, I am bound to believe it. I don't come to this book as a critic of the book. I come to this book to be criticized by the book. I am not the judge of the book. The book is the judge of me. I am not the establisher of truth. I am here to find what God has established as truth. I could go down the line in many other great doctrines. Anytime anybody adds works to grace, they're subverting Christianity. When they make works in any way, to any degree, at any level, pre-conversion, at conversion, or post-conversion, a means of contributing to a man's acceptance with God, that is a departure from the gospel. It's not Christian. Anybody who thinks he's saved by a mixture of grace and works is a Galatian, not a Christian. And Paul puts his condemnation in such.
not his approbation. I could go on down the line about the precious blood of the redeeming death of the Lord Jesus Christ, the propitiation made in that blood, the expiation of our guilt. These are things that are central to the gospel. This faith is marked by soundness of belief. It is a believing in a particular body of revealed truth. This faith always has Christ for its object. Watch this very carefully. It is faith in Christ Jesus. It's in Him. That is, it focuses upon His person, upon His work, and upon His offices. Now, you'll notice how kind I am to you all this morning. I'm letting you out before Christmas, because those are three little statements, but those are three huge points. You could hang a whole series of sermons at every one of them. Faith focuses on the person of Jesus Christ, God manifested in the flesh, deity and humanity, without any admixture, without adding to or taking from His eternal deity, which is an impossibility, without humanizing His deity or deifying His humanity. Two distinct natures in one perfect and indivisible person forever. The person of the Lord Jesus Christ, possessed of all the attributes of deity, and yet as man possessed of all the attributes of humanity. Sinless, spotless, pure, and holy. The person of Christ. The work of Christ. The offices, prophet, priest, and king, making Him our mediator. Faith focuses upon Christ, and for acceptance with God and access to God, faith knows no merit but Christ. How often have we sung the words, I have no other argument, I have no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Faith is in Him. But look again at that little phrase. This faith is in Him. Let's change the emphasis. In other words, it rests in Him. It trusts everything to Him. It commits everything to His merit, because Christ is the object of true saving faith. This faith is marked by steadfastness of profession. Very clearly, the Colossians professed their faith because we read that Paul heard of this. They were professing it by word and by life. And clearly, not only did they profess it, but they were holding on to it despite some vicious attacks and despite some specious heresies that were being pushed their way. And again, I come back to this. This is clear from how Paul addressed the heresies and the heretics. All he had to do to deal with the problems in Colossae was to show them that those who were afflicting them, opposing Epaphras, were not holding to Christ the head. And I honestly believe that he did that because once he did so, once these people could see these Judaizers, far from being advanced Christians as they want us to believe, they're not holding to Christ the head. As soon as they saw that, that was enough to brand them as heretics, henceforth to be repudiated. Why? Because these people had a grip of the gospel and they were not going to move from it. God make us a people like that. And then this faith expressed these believers' union and communion with Christ. Again, come back to the little phrase, their faith was in Christ Jesus. Not only was it in Him because it rested on Him, but this term goes further than the object to speak of the sphere in which faith was exercised. Faith is always exercised in Christ. What does that mean? In Christ means union. Faith is always exercised in union with Christ. Faith is also exercised in Christ in that it's exercised in communion with Christ. And this is a very important aspect of true faith. You see, it is not any kind of make-believe. It's very hard to get this over. And again, the subject's too big to deal with just with a passing reference or two. I've dealt with this a little in the past. We are all, unfortunately, afflicted in our thinking to some extent. Whether we realize it or not, we're afflicted with the follies and the falseness of the definition of faith that has been popularized by charismaniacs. I think that's a good term for them too. Where faith becomes a sort of, if you make yourself believe it, if you want it badly enough, that's faith. And it's not. There are people telling themselves that they're exercising faith, quite apart from the Bible, quite apart from any conviction of the Spirit in their heart. It is purely and simply their desire. And any time your desire enters into any issue, you've got to be very careful, because it's like putting a particular pair of lenses in front of your eyes. Whatever the lens, it's going to dictate how you're going to see things. Got to be very careful here. Faith is a response, basically, to a divine revelation. Always. It's a response to a divine revelation. And where there's no such revelation, you've got to tread very carefully. Not only is it a response to a divine revelation, but faith is born out of our being in Christ. And faith grows out of our communion with Christ. Paul speaks in chapter 2 and verse 12, if you cross-reference it, to the faith, or of the faith of the operation of God. It's a very difficult little phrase. It may mean faith in his operation, or it may mean faith that is produced by the operation of God. I think that the latter is certainly Paul's meaning in Ephesians 1, which is more or less parallel expression, where he says, I pray that ye may know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. How do we believe? We believe according to the working of his mighty power. Faith is produced by the operation of God. In union with Christ, in communion with Christ. That's why it is important for Christians to spend time in the Word and in prayer, getting alone with the Lord.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com. Now, that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairn saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.